Is climate change a local issue? Leaders at the State Department today would say yes. Mayors from around the world are there discussing how they can reduce greenhouse gases in the absence of any larger state or federal or global action. It's part of the Our Cities, Our Climate initiative, a partnership between the State Department and Bloomberg Philanthropies, and it comes ahead of the Paris climate talks in December. Joining us now are Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City, and Mayor Gregor Robertson of Vancouver. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And Mayor Bloomberg, let me start with you. What can really be done at the city level to combat something like climate change that impacts the entire globe?
Well, that's the cities are where most of the climate change problems are and originate. We either use the energy that's generated elsewhere that has a climate impact, or we actually create greenhouse gases in the cities. And the reason for that is that's where a majority of the public lives. They're moving more and more towards cities all the time. And so it's you have to look to the mayors to make the progress more than the federal and state governments, because that's where the problems are.
Mayor Robertson, what have you been able to do in Vancouver specifically that has helped to deal with climate change in a way that is going to impact people who don't live in Vancouver?
Well, the biggest emissions in cities come from the buildings and from transportation. So in Vancouver, we're very focused on having the greenest building code in North America. We've cranked up the standards so that every site that we rezone for new development has to be above a LEED Gold standard of construction, and that'll be shifting to zero emission buildings in 2020. So we can push energy efficiency, making sure we're using renewable energy rather than fossil fuels to heat the buildings in the city, as well as looking at transportation shifts. We've shifted over half of our population into bicycles, walking, and transit out of cars. The minority now drives in cars, and we're accelerating that shift by making sure the infrastructure is good, that the investments are made in alternative transportation that's clean. So those are two examples of where we can reduce our emissions and be as clean as humanly possible, while at the same time creating jobs and having the most successful economy of any city in Canada right now.
But what about the farms and factories that are outside the city that we know are responsible for a large portion of the greenhouse gases that are causing climate change as well?
Well, there's a direct connection in terms of consumption, and what we're looking at as a city is how we reduce the consumption we have right now. In North American cities, we're 4 to 5 times the capacity of the planet in terms of what we consume, and that means we have to be a lot more efficient. So we can deal with that with packaging, recycling, managing the waste stream. Obviously, we have other tools to deal with the impacts that come through industry. A lot of those are regulated by state or provincial or federal levels, and that's why it's important that we push on our other partners in government to make sure that they do their part with the tools that they have.
Yeah, let me add something to that. You talk about farms. The double-digit percentage of all greenhouse gases come from cows.
Right.
So, cows turn into dairy and meat consumed in the cities. So if we change what we drink or eat, you could have an impact on that. You can decide whether you want to do it or not. Genetically modified foods. The future, no matter what people in Europe say, talk about Frankenfoods, the only ways we will feed our population is with making sure crop yields go up using less fertilizer and less insecticides. That's what genetically modified foods are all about. Back when the cave people, cavemen and women were around, they breathed clean air, they drank pure water, all their food was organic, they got plenty of exercise, and they died at age 25. So let's get serious here and stop all the pandering to a few people who refuse to accept science. We can make a difference, even on the farms, coming from the cities.
Well, when you say a few people who refuse to accept science, I want to play you some tape of people that are in the sort of final round of 20 or so people running for president to be president of the United States in 2016. This is Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio talking recently about climate change.
Well, first of all, I'm not a believer in global warming. I'm not a believer in man-made global warming.
If we ban all carbon emissions in the United States, will it change the dramatic changes in climate and these dramatic weather impacts that we're now reading about? And anyone who says that we will is not being truthful.
Satellite data show for the last 17 years, there has been no significant recorded warming. None. Now, that's a real problem because the whole basis of global warming alarmism was based on computer models that showed there was going to be significant warming. And the problem is the satellites, when they're measuring the temperature, it's not happening.
Mayor Bloomberg, how do you convince people, including those politicians, but also their supporters and many others in the United States, that what you're doing is based on good science and is not going to ruin the economy?
Well, number one, if you're going to talk about the economy, you've got to talk about lives. Even if it did take some jobs, and there's no evidence that being environmentally friendly will take jobs, quite the contrary, it'll probably create more jobs than it takes away. You can only talk about in the context of how many people are going to die prematurely, or maybe the whole planet will die prematurely. So that's just a false choice. I'm not here to criticize the three people whose voice you just played, but the truth of the matter is we just went through 2014 was the hottest year on record. 2015 is shaping up to be even hotter. I mean, the facts are just there. And I will say I think it's up to Bloomberg News and up to NPR and up to all news organizations to, when they report, not just pander and look for inches and minutes in advertising or an audience in the case of NPR. You have a responsibility to put things in context and say scientists who have won Nobel Prizes say this, and elected officials or aspirants, people who aspire to lead us, do or do not have credibility and experience. And when you do that, there's just no question about what is going on. No business person, for example, would ever face his or her stockholders today and say, one of the top things on our priority is to make sure we're environmentally friendly, or we're not going to be able to attract people, or our customers aren't going to buy our products. And you as stockholders, I've got to do the things to protect your assets in this company from floods and fires and heat and whatever.
But the people that we just played are part of a party that you used to be a part of. What do you think when you hear them say those things?
Well, I just I'm not going to get involved in partisan politics. I don't know that it has anything to do with one party or another. The truth of the matter is they just are factually wrong. I assume they're great Americans. I assume they really are trying to be honest. The scary thing is if you accept the fact that they really are honest, then you got to question their analytical ability and knowledge of what goes on. I'm not sure whether duplicity is better or worse than ignorance, but it's certainly one or the other.
Mayor Robertson, what do you think when you hear that? And you know that it's an uphill climb to convince many people in the United States that climate change is a problem, that it's caused by humans, and that it's worth doing something about it, even if it comes at a cost.
Well, I think the vast majority of people around the world have moved on. They know climate change is real. Yeah. Global warming's happening, the impacts are being felt, and you know, arguably the most conservative organizations in the world, from the military to insurance companies, financial institutions, the business community, everyone's planning for massive change around the world, and that presents all sorts of challenges. It also creates great opportunities. The biggest booms that we're seeing right now economically are with clean technology, with renewable energy. We're seeing massive investments, trillions of dollars shifting into the green economy, frankly, to capitalize on the opportunity and to future-proof all of these organizations. So
let me add one other thing. You talk about three people and what they said. My suggestion, if you want to have a good news story, is why don't you go to North Carolina and South Carolina and ask the people there whether at first time in 1,000 years they have had this kind of rains, whether they should worry about climate change. I suspect you'd have an awful lot more people saying, I don't know why it's happening, but we got to do something about it. I can't have this happen every single year.
Well, we didn't hear the governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, use the words climate change, as Governor Cuomo did in the wake of Hurricane Sandy.
You have to talk to both governors. I am not scripting what they say. I'm just talking about the facts. You go on the ground. At least the governor of North Carolina and governors of North Carolina and South Carolina are out there talking about what's going on. They're trying to protect their people. They're trying to recover. They're trying to grieve for, I think, 19 people have lost their lives so far. And campaign speeches are how you wordsmith to avoid offending a handful of vocal constituents. It doesn't make a lot of sense in this day and age. The mayor does not have, and I did not have when I was mayor of New York, mayors don't have the luxury of do a phraseology. We've got to do things and face facts, and that's what you see. And particularly you see the people of Vancouver, very well served by a mayor who understands if they want to have a future, he's got to help them get there. And this is not a political thing. The truth of the matter is the science is the science.
Do you think President Obama has done enough on climate change?
The president has spoken out. He can never do enough. But I think, in all fairness, if you say nothing's happening at a national level, it's Congress more so than the White House that bears responsibility. But I'd certainly urge the president to do more.
That's Mayor Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City, and Mayor Gregor Robertson of Vancouver. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.